in the earthly terms and in his day and time was known as a crazy man. But you and I know Noah to be a man of extreme faith. And folks, we've been looking at that over these last few weeks. Living Christ-like in the extreme and what that means in our life. And what it means to sell out to extreme faith like never before. And that was Noah. Noah was a man that knew what faith was all about. Matter of fact, the Bible says specifically that Noah was a good and righteous man. He was the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and who was born. And when those kids were born, that man was 500 years old. Now, God warned Noah that he was going to wipe mankind from the face of the earth. And because Noah walked with God and stood blameless, God gave him something specifically that Noah was about to do. Now I want you to get this picture with me. The Bible says that because of Noah's faithfulness, he had found grace in the eyes of God. Now Noah lived in a very corrupt society, an age where men became so universally depraved that the Lord had to destroy not just that world, but this earth. I do not believe in a localized flood. I believe what the Bible says. The world was flooded, and God took care of it. And notice, there was only one righteous person. Now, we ain't got quite that bad yet. I know people say, are we living like in the days of Noah repeated? No. If we were, ladies and gentlemen, none of us, well, we're none righteous, no, not one, except saved through the grace of Jesus Christ. But in that day and time, Noah was it. And God commissioned Noah to do something that was unheard of. He was to build a big boat. Now, I know you men have been at sea, and that's the word ship. And it's to be a seaworthy vessel. Now, get this, folks. That ark was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide. That's a whole lot of cubits and spans. And 45 feet high. We know the exact dimensions of the ark. But where was old Noah going to build this ark? In his backyard. In the middle of nowhere. So I figured I'd show you a little bit of what this ark may have looked like. And in particular, that gives some idea. That's a rendition of Noah's ark. The Bible is very explicit about the length, the width. Matter of fact, it's very explicit about the skylight that goes completely around the top. And he's very explicit about how many doors was there in the ark. One. God was very specific. So let's get a little more perspective. I wanted you to see this. Now I want you to look at the size of the ark. Now, this square represents the ark. That's a Boeing 747. That's pretty big, folks. Like a box. And then, to even get a greater perspective, let me show you one other slide about the ark. This is the scale, and both this railroad car and this ship is the scale. And when you look at that and you see exactly what it is, because the replica is 1/75th scale, but the railroad and stock car are the exact same thing. Now let me say something to you. The full-size version of the railroad stock car that's shown right here is 44 feet long with a capacity of putting 2,670 cubic feet in it. The ark, if my math is right, is 1,518 cubic feet, which is equal to 569 of those cars, and strung together and put on top of each other in the ark, that train would be 5.5 miles long. Does that give you some idea of what we're dealing with? Do you think Noah's crazy at this point? Now, some of you are carpenters. What if God told you to build something like that in Cobb County? You'd be arrested, folks. They'd put you in jail. My son would come get you real quick, and you'd be the talk of the town. You ought to see this crazy guy down there on Austell Road. He's building a boat 450 feet long. It's taking up the entire subdivision. And it's going to take you 100 years to build it. Now, do you see how preposterous that is? Can you tell, can you see, trying to explain to the police department of Cobb County what you're doing in your backyard? I'd love to see your explanation. Matter of fact, since I'm the chaplain, I might be with them when they come get you. Can you imagine? Do you see a little bit more? Let me show you the inside of the ark. Now, hello, I hadn't been in there. This is just a rendition of what they think. But we know it's three floors. We know there was one window. But I want you to see, if my brain is right, my eyes are not playing tricks on me, and trust me, my bifocals do sometimes. That's why I don't get too close to this step right here. What is that? Hippopotamus. Last time I stood next to one of those, that's a big animal. Looks kind of small right there. But that's just one section, ladies and gentlemen. Living quarters up here. I tell you, folks, every time I look at this, every time I see it, you know, the floor space, literally, if you were to figure this thing out in floor space, it would be 101,000 square feet. Wow. Well, let me show you just one other thing real quick. I just want to get your mindset with me this morning that this man, really, the people thought he's crazy. I want to show you one more slide, right? That's another rendition of the ark. Can you? I know that's it. That's me. Or you? Don't you look pretty? I know it's hard to see it. That's why I put a circle around it. That's the man. And standing next to this thing. Well, folks, why have I taken so many pains to try to do as much research as I know to show you? It's to show you that even in that day and time, Noah was fixing and doing something that was outlandish. You just don't build ships in your backyard. Matter of fact, in the area that he was in, it was not near to water. There was no port. There was nothing. Can you imagine? We're in the middle of Cobb County, and somebody's building an ark. But man had been corrupt. Man was looking after man. Man could care less about anybody else. This friendship that Shirley taught about and shared about in the children's message, that was unheard of. They could care less about you. They were concerned about number one. I know it sounds like it's something that's coming out of the Atlanta Daily Journal or Marietta Daily Journal paper today and everything we do. But I want to show you something about extreme faith of Noah this morning. In his beliefs, what beliefs he had to understand in order to practice this extreme faith. And then I'm going to show you, when you walk out of this door this morning and you go to the restaurant and you go to the beauty shop and you go to the grocery store and whatever, what you can do today that will show this world you're crazy. And I dare you to do, I challenge you to do what I'm about to tell you to do when we close this message out this morning. So there were beliefs. The first belief that Noah had to believe something. He had to believe God's word, that God was going to do what? Destroy both man and the earth. In verse 13, it was explicit here. I mean, it's not just simply gray. It's black and white. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled, and I will destroy them. With the earth. I'm going to destroy him. God said, he revealed to him he's going to put an end to all life. He was going to destroy him. God revealed why he was going to destroy man because the earth was now filled with violence. Now that word violence in the Hebrew right there means murder. It means all that sin that you can come up with and think about. It means direct opposition to God. People were not following the way of God. And I stand before you to tell you this. God destroyed one day this earth with water. And one day, folks, he's going to destroy it with fire. He's going to take care. The judgment of God is going to happen to you and me. But can you imagine being the only godly person on the face of this earth? And that was Noah. He believed God. He believed exactly what God said. God said that he was going to destroy not a little bit of the earth. That always blows my mind with archaeologists. Well, this flood only happened within this biblical territory and maybe within a 10-mile radius. Hogwash. You look at the Word of God. You look at science and let science uncover, and it will uncover for you a flood that was total. God wasn't messing around with a few of us, ladies and gentlemen. He destroyed mankind, and he has that capability now to do it if he so chose. But Noah believed God. No matter how crazy, no matter how, it just can't be done. God, Noah says it will be because God's in control. But that's the first belief. Now, the second belief Noah had to understand, and he did, and that's what we must do, is God, he had to understand belief too, God's command. What was God's command? You've read it. We just read it. Build an ark in the middle of what? Nowhere. Build an ark. Now, hop in the shoes of Noah. I know that's not easy sometimes for any of us because we're not 500 years old yet. But can you imagine he's listening to God and God is saying, now, Noah, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to build this ark. It's going to be the size of 1.5 of your football fields, 150 yards long. Build it in your backyard, in essence. There's no seaport close by, no boat ramp to get it down in the water. There's no conceivable way to get this thing working. Don't put a motor in it. Don't take the first oar with you. Just build it. And folks, I don't know about you, but some of you guys gone deep sea fishing before. There's one thing I want to work on that deep sea boat, the motor. And there's another thing I want to have on that boat too, oars and lifeboats. I don't want to get in a boat that doesn't have a motor or didn't have some way to paddle out of a situation. But he's telling Noah, not only you build a boat, it's to be a ship. Can you imagine the length of 150 yards? That's Noah. Noah was willing to pay the price even though people laughed at him. Even though people said, you have got to be kidding me. You're crazy. No matter what, that, ladies and gentlemen, is extreme faith. And I confess to you, the Christians of the 21st century, they're a minute group who have that kind of faith. Are you willing to practice it? Are you willing to let the people of Cobb County, your neighborhood, the places you go, know that you have extreme faith and make them think you're crazy? Not to be some spectacle to show, not to be some arrogant Christian that's saying to the world, look at me, how spiritual I am, but are you willing to do whatever it takes to have extreme faith? Then I'll show you when I close this message what it'll take, at least one way, in my opinion, that we can show this world today when we walk out of this building that we're people of faith. Wow. God was very specific. Can you see this? You've read the scripture. God told Noah, you build this thing out of gopher wood. Probably it's a cypress, it's an evergreen, which is adaptable. The ark was to have separate rooms or cabins, according to verse 14, literally that you see there. And then it was to be waterproofed with this stuff called pitch, which must have been some type of tar or asphalt. And again, I've already told you the size. And then the ark was to have an opening. One, for ventilation and light, and the opening was to be within 18 inches of the top. That is, it was to run all around the top of the ark, literally in the scripture, and the ark is only to have one door. Now, some of you in this room are claustrophobic. Can you imagine getting in this thing with two of every kind of every living thing that's ever lived and whatever, and you just got one way out? And you're going to be in there more than 40 days. Wow. You ever wonder what God's trying to say to me and you about that ark right there? When Noah believed God, literally about building an ark in the middle of nowhere, God, Noah had to believe God no matter what. He had to surrender himself totally to the will of God. That's not easy. That's not easy for me. That's not easy for you to completely, totally sell out to God. And isn't it interesting? The Hebrew word for pitch happens to be the word literally to atone for, to seal. Is God trying to tell us something? You better believe he's trying to tell us something. The pitch sealed the ark. It made it float. It made it waterproof. Ladies and gentlemen, what makes you sin-proof? What makes you sealed today is the power of the Holy Spirit. God sealed the tomb of Jesus Christ, and the Bible says if you know Jesus Christ, God's put an airtight seal around you that nothing, not even the gates of hell, can take it away from you. And we saw that even in the ark. Wow. But then there's a third belief right here. God's means of destruction. What was it? It's a flood of water. It's a flood of water. Without question, God was bringing judgment on mankind. Verse 17 is very explicit. Bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven how much flesh? All flesh, which is breathing. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Noah believed God's means of destruction. He knew it, and folks, it was the judgment of God. How many doors was in the ark? It's just one. How many ways are there to Jesus? Just one. And Jesus Christ himself said, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No man will ever come to the Father but by me. Folks, it's no accident the ark had just one door. You know, God never does anything just for the sake of doing it. There's more to it. God put one door in that ark to say, folks, there's one way in and there's one way out. There's one way in, and you got here through the breath of God in your life when you were born. And there's only one way out. That's through Jesus Christ. And unless this world chooses Jesus Christ, they shut that door up tighter than a drum. And as a result, people die in their sin and spend an eternity with Jesus Christ. The sad part about it is people are trusting tradition. They're trusting shaking the hand of a preacher. They're trusting everything in this world for their eternal salvation. But the number one thing, the only thing, and that's the blood of Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, who are you trusting for your salvation? There's only one door. And if it's walking down the aisle of a church, you're not trusting the right person or the right, you're trusting a thing. You trust Jesus. And what he did for you on the cross and your intentional invitation of Jesus Christ to come into your life for your salvation. Therefore, the fourth belief in the very thing which I just segue in, God's promise of what in verse 18? God's promise of personal salvation. Of personal salvation. Literally, that God was going to save some people and he was going to save Noah without question. God said, I've established my covenant with you, Noah, that literally now from the seed of Noah, you thought about this, remember? God is destroying the earth. There is Noah. From the seed, his very seed, would come forth the Messiah through the house and lineage of David, as we see. We move to Christmas. We talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. But God was promising to Noah, not only your personal salvation, I'm going to save you. Look far beyond the ark, ladies and gentlemen. God's promised to save me and you. We'd just ask. God was using Noah and his family to carry on that covenant that he made with God's people to do what he said. And it takes extreme faith to believe it. And God, literally, through Noah, Noah was trusting God with an extreme faith that's beyond anything we never experienced and know. And then belief number five, God's commission, folks. The God's commission was the awesome task of saving two of every living animal on the earth. The awesome task of saving two of every living thing, every living animal on the earth. Now, just think about that for a minute. The very idea of saving two of every species of animal must have overwhelmed Noah. God was commissioning him to reach out and save the centuries of this world. And the task was awesome, but it was a weight that was put on his shoulders. But God told him exactly how to do it. Does that sound familiar to you? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What do we call that? The what? Great what? Commission. You think there's a parallel? I definitely believe so. Noah, you've got extreme faith. You get two of every kind of every living thing. Don't worry, they're coming to you, Noah. You put them on that ark. And Noah did what God said. You and I, folks, God's commissioned us too. And folks, we've got the ark of the love of God, of his salvation in our lives. And what are we must do? We must go out and get and bring them in. We must go out and tell. We must let people know. We must do the great commission in our churches in the 21st centuries. And move forward like never before. Noah believed God, and he did what God did, and he gathered the people and brought them in the ark. And then there's number six I want to tell you about. God's way of salvation was a salvation that demands obedience. And that's where it gets walking on our toes a little. That word obedience. You know, I often think Noah could have said to God, "Nope, not going to do it. People think I'm crazy. I'm just not going to do that, God." Wonder where we'd be today if he didn't. Noah believed God without question because he obeyed God without question. It's imperative, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I do the will of God. Our response to the Lord must be that of Noah, that of obedience without question. Extreme faith, then, is bound up in our belief that God will do what he says. How many of you in the last week have prayed for rain? Raise your hands. Okay. Do you believe God will send rain? Now do the same thing. Yeah. I don't know when, I don't know how, but God will do it. The prayers of God's people, having the faith, the extreme faith, to believe God without question. Faith, ladies and gentlemen, pistuo in the Greek language, the word literally is translated, I believe, is not a noun. It is an action word. It means to do something. When you and I meet Jesus Christ at the rapture of the church or our death, in particular the rapture of the church, the Bible says it's appointed unto man that wants to die, and after that the judgment. What's going to happen to the Christian folks when God raptures his church? Every one of you, including me, we're going to face the Bema judgment of Christ. What's that mean? The Bema is the covering of the mercy seat. It's the mercy seat, the covering of the ark. It is the judgment of Christians. What are you judged for when you meet Christ as a child of God? You're not judged for your sin. Why? It's already been judged for on the cross and taken care of. Then what are you judged for? Works. What you did for Jesus. I don't know about your book, but my Bible says faith without action is what? Dead. So many Christians are living so defeated, lethargic lives because they're saved, their fire insurance is taken care of, but they're sitting and there's no works. Be careful, folks. Noah took action. As crazy as it sounded, as preposterous and outlandish as it could be, Noah did what God said. When Michael and Bethany were small children, they used to stand up in their beds in the morning, and I would stand next to them. I would tell them, "Hey, y'all jump to Dad." It's okay until both of them jumped at the same time. But did they believe I'd catch them? Of course they did. None of you dads, any of us wouldn't think of catching or not catching our children when they jumped to our arms. And why? They knew, because I had done it many times. And suppose neither would jump. Suppose they decided not to jump. They'd still be in their young years, should we say, though not literally, but figuratively speaking, still sitting on that bed, not willing to take a jump or leap of faith, no matter what. Folks, when you jump, God's there. And He is the Abba Pater. He will catch you. It is an action word, without question. Many times you've heard me say, and I believe this, the church, yes, is a hospital for sinners, but there's something more. I believe we must not only be a hospital for sinners, but ladies and gentlemen, we are a military outpost under orders from God to storm the gates of hell. And every one of us in this room is on active duty. And God has told us in this world, go out and share. Go out and tell. Do what it takes. It seems absolutely incomprehensible to us. It can't happen. But how do you grow a church, ladies and gentlemen? Like Tom Rainer says, you eat an elephant. One bite at a time. One person at a time. We're not responsible for saving the world. We're responsible for telling the world about Jesus Christ. We cannot save anyone. Folks, Noah had these six beliefs. He had to believe God's word, that God was going to do what He said. He had to believe God's command to build a boat that's something that in his backyard, you got to be kidding me. Noah believed God's means of destruction. God's going to destroy this world with 40 days of rain. And he had to believe God was going to do the personal salvation and save his family. To believe God's commission to bring two of every kind. And Noah had to believe God's way of salvation, that it demanded he obey God without question. I found something one day. You may have read this somewhere. It was an article written years ago about Noah's Ark. And here's what it said. It said, everything I need to know in life I learned from Noah's Ark. Number one, don't miss the boat. I like that. Number two, remember that we are all in the same boat. Number three, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Number four, stay fit. When you're 400 years old, somebody may ask you to do something really big. God is never in the retirement market. I love that. Number five, don't listen to critics. Just get the job done. Number six, build your future on higher ground. Number seven, for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Number eight, speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on board with the cheetahs. Number nine, when you're stressed, float a while. Number 10, remember the ark was built by amateurs and the Titanic was built by professionals. And no matter how treacherous the storm, when you're with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. Now, how can you do this? I'm going to issue a challenge to you that you're going to think I'm crazy. But most of you know that anyway. Barry and I were talking just a minute ago, and you've heard this, of praying for rain. What would indicate to this world that you and I are praying for rain right now? You have any idea? Carry your umbrella. If you've got an umbrella in your car today, and you go to a restaurant to eat, or tomorrow you're out at the grocery store, clear sky, I want you to carry your umbrella with you. Start to say your rainbow. Wherever you go this week, going into work, it's clear as a bell out there. You come in with an umbrella. He's crazy. He's coming in with an umbrella. Look at that. Why you got an umbrella? You think it's going to rain? And you tell people when they ask you why you got that umbrella, I'm just praying for rain. Barry and I were talking about that very illustration. They went out in the farmer's field. A bunch of them got together, pray for rain. They all gathered except one guy comes out in his raincoat and his umbrella. Who was the man that had extreme faith? The crazy man. Let's be crazy. Is that okay? Carry your umbrella today. It's clear as a bell out there. There's no prospect for rain. Would it be interesting if God sent rain today? You see, That's one little way, folks. But it's showing this world. That people are going to think, you're going to think you're crazy. But if we are serious and we have the extreme faith in God we say we have, we're going to pray for rain knowing God's hearing our prayer, and in God's time he's going to send it. Just be ready. Amen? That's what Noah did. Let's do the same thing. Pray with me. Father, the world thought Noah was crazy. The world thinks many of us are crazy. But no, we know we're not crazy. Yeah, we are for you. We know the author of the rain. We know the creator of this universe. And most of all, Lord Jesus, we know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who took every sin we'd ever commit on a cross and died for every one of us. Lord Jesus, thank you is so inadequate. And so, Father, we just want to be crazy for you. No, not to make a spectacle. Not to do anything arrogantly, say, world, look at us. But to very humbly reply, I believe God. Father, use this congregation. Use us all right now, this week, this day, to have extreme faith. The faith, God, that you may not be calling us to build a 150-yard boat out there, but an extreme faith that will believe in you without question. So many in this house believe that way. And Lord, your will be done as we just take moments before we leave here and commit our lives to you. And Father, thank you for it. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name. Won't you stand with Barry? That little chorus. Change my heart, oh God. You know? Make me ever true. I want you to sing that with Barry. Whatever commitment you have for God, that extreme faith. Maybe that's prayer. Maybe that's to join Olive Springs. Maybe that's to know more about asking Jesus Christ into your life. There's some confusion there. Come share that with us. Whatever you need, this is a time for you, wherever you are or right here, to respond to God. And I want you to come as we sing that song, all of us, as our commitment and our